My guest today is Sherry Maracle. She's a woman of many talents, a drummer, educator, and writer. She brings all of this together as the leader of Diva, the most brilliant all-girl orchestra anywhere in the world.
Hi, Marian. Great to see you.
You too. It's been a long time.
I know. I've been such a fan of yours for so many years, and I'm so thrilled to be here. Very honored.
Well, of course, I'm dying to hear some music, so whenever you can get that together.
Okay, well, we're dying to play some. So how about if we play my favorite, one of my all-time favorite grooves is a shuffle. So I love to kick things off with that. So how about if we play The Groove Merchant for you by Jerome Richardson?
I'd love to hear it.
Okay.
Well, when you were studying with Mel Lewis, was that before you had the band?
Yeah. Yeah, before. Well before the Diva Jazz Orchestra. I was at New York University, and I thought, Mel Lewis is on the faculty. This is amazing, because he was one of my idols, and that band is, you know, one of the greatest bands ever in the history of music. And
you mean Thad and...
Oh, Thad and Mel,
Thad and Mel, yeah.
And all the transformations into the Mel Lewis Jazz Orchestra, then now... Of course, the Vanguard Jazz Orchestra. But my lessons with Mel were so interesting because sometimes we'd be in his apartment and he never had a stick or a pad or a drum or a cymbal, nothing. It was all just, it would bring in some music and he would listen to it. And occasionally I actually played the third set with his band at the Vanguard. That was terrifying, truthfully.
It must have been fun, though.
It was fun. You can imagine such an icon like him in that band and in the Vanguard. And Sherry, go back there and play the third set. And I was like, you're kidding me. And then that would be, and he would stand in the audience and say things like, play louder, you know, I don't like your fill, or, you know, something good, something. And the audience must have been, you know, horrified listening to that. My drum lesson at the Vanguard. But nonetheless, that was amazing.
So how long have you actually had the band?
The band was I think came into the brain of our founder, Stanley Kay, probably in 1990 when he heard me playing just at the 75th anniversary of the Schubert Theater in New Haven, Connecticut. And he was conducting for Maurice Hines, and he liked the way I played. So which was, you know, once he finally approached me about this in 1992, I was very excited because he was the former manager of the Buddy Rich Band and associate drummer with Buddy.
Buddy, what was that band, The Killer Force?
The Killer Force. When he said, oh, I like the way you play, obviously, I was like, really? Somebody that played with Buddy Rich and managed Buddy Rich likes the way I play? I was, and he's a very serious, you know, a serious person in the music business. So in 1992, he called me and asked if I knew women that could, you know, I'll quote him humbly. He said, that play as well as you do. And I said, yes. So we had an audition. About 40 people came to the original audition back in 1992.
All instruments.
Yeah.
Different instruments.
Yeah, we have, Diva is 5 saxophones, 3 trombones, 4 trumpets, and piano, bass, and drums. Our first concert was in March as part of Women's History Month at New York University, March 30th, 1993.
And was Stanley, did he sort of take charge?
Yeah, yeah, Stanley was our guiding force and still to this day is our... we'll call him a grand, high, exalted, mystic ruler and guru of Diva. And he's very creative. He comes up with a lot of great arrangements for us as well.
That's great to have.
Yeah.
You've got everything going for you.
Yeah, it's all really positive. Certainly positive in the musical regard. It's been a lot of times I was very resistant to all women things because sometimes historically you've noticed that thing... things were not always focused on the music with women's groups, like let's see how you look or wear this dress or show your cleavage or put on lipstick.
Right.
I'm sure you lived through much of that yourself. And it was all just – it was, something that I wasn't interested in. But with Stanley, he was deadly serious, and it was all about the music. So I was like, this would be great, a great opportunity.
Well, I love talking to you, but I also love to hear some music. How about another tune?
Okay. This we say this is the theme song of the rhythm section of Tomoko and Noriko and I. And this is we went into jazz, so we need to ask ourselves, what would happen if I only had a brain? So here we go from The Wizard of Oz.
After all that wonderful stuff that you guys did, how about if I play one with the rhythm section?
That'd be great. I played with you, Mary and I. The first time we played together, I was in college, and you were the guest soloist with my college band at the State University in Binghamton, New York. And that was fun. And then of course, you played with Diva.
With the band.
Yeah. So
that was fun, too.
But I've never played trio with you, so I'm really excited. A little bit nervous. You're a goddess.
Oh.
Can't wait to play with you. What are we going to play?
How about a tune by Duke Ellington, Squeeze Me?
Oh, awesome.
So how often do you get together and rehearse with the big band?
We don't rehearse unless we have new music. And since the inception of the band, we've commissioned every single chart that we've ever played, which is fabulous. In line with Stanley's vision and my own, we wanted to make sure that we developed a unique sound and repertoire for the group. In original compositions and arrangements. So basically, whenever we get about five or six new charts we haven't played, we call a rehearsal and play through them and are grateful we can sight read and then try it out on the next gig.
Yeah, boy, that's something I never could do. In fact, I auditioned for a band in England God knows how many years ago. I don't think you would ever have heard of her. Ivy Benson.
I've heard the name, but I'm not familiar with the music.
Well, nor I. I auditioned for her, and I didn't make it. So I'm really glad I didn't.
There you go. But, I don't know. Reading is an acquired skill, but so many of the icons of jazz, like yourself included, I mean, it's not a necessary requirement. Buddy Rich. And I have it from the horse's mouth from Stanley Kaye. So
that's incredible.
But what a phenomenal player! And that makes you use your ears more. I think that's can be a problem sometimes if your head's always in the music and the music's not in your head. So
Well, I want to hear more music in my head
okay.
from you.
Okay. Stanley at K is very good at that, like taking novelty tunes or taking tunes that are typically not done in a jazz way and putting different twists on them. And I thought, what would be a really fun thing to do that's really associated with drums, besides like Sing 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 and some of those iconic tunes. So I thought, Cute's a good tune. And I was I wanted to do it in a duet with Noriko Ueda. So we kind of displaced the beat a little bit and put some percussive sounds in it, and we're gonna give Cute a shot.
Is that a Neil Hefti tune?
Yeah, Neil Hefti, but he won't recognize it. Okay.
Well, I'm looking forward to this. To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.